Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, November 22nd, 2021, just 3 days away from our Thanksgiving holiday. And this is the Monday edition of The Cross in the Desert. This month, I've been focusing in on remembering the 2 years ago, the incredible struggle of Iranians against a dictatorship government. For the last couple of weeks, I've been focusing in on the November uprisings of 2019, one of the most tragic, bloodiest days in all of Iranian history, when Iranians took to the streets protesting the increase in gas prices, and it evolved into over hundreds of cities all across Iran, over 100 cities. And in that time, 2 years ago, during the November uprisings, the government decided to take a harsh response to these uprisings, and they shut the internet down for 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, they murdered over 1,500 peaceful protesters, arresting over 7,000 of them, wounding 4,000 of them. 400 of them were women, and about 17 of them were teenagers. I'm reminding us of the cost of the struggle of freedom in Iran as I look back 2 years later. Today on the broadcast, though, in this month of November, I want to focus in on a particular activist that was recently arrested, ironically, just at the two-year anniversary of the November uprisings. I'm also going to talk about a scholar who has been on death row, who was arrested 5 years ago. What I'm going to do today is focus in on these two particular individuals. I want to make their stories known to you so that you can understand who these people are. You can be a voice for them and pray for them and speak out for them like I'm doing. And this morning on The Cross in the Desert, I want us to take some time to focus in on Narges Mohammadi. She's a renowned human rights activist, very well known among all Iranians, and she was just recently arrested on the anniversary of the historic protests. That was on November 16th, and according to the Center for Human Rights in Iran, according to Executive Director Hadi Ghami, this is what he had to say about her recent arrest. By arresting Narges on the anniversary of these historic protests from 2 years ago, Iran's brutal security establishment is sending a clear message to the world. Peaceful dissent will be punished as a crime under the new president, Ebrahim Raisi. The Iranian government welcomes silence on the part of other nations, and it is now, not later, that the international community, according to Hadi, should present a united front against this crushing of freedom of speech and thought in Iran. And I completely agree. There has to be a united front. There are still too many nations that are willing to do business with Iran, economic pursuits with Iran, instead of speaking out against their egregious human rights violations. Now, I want us to learn something about this prominent human rights activist. She was arrested, as I mentioned, on November 16, 2021, in the city of Karaj. She was participating at a ceremony honoring Ebrahim Ketanabar. Who is that? He's a father of two who was shot and killed during the security forces uprising 2 years ago. Narges Mohammadi, of course, now being arrested, she's in Evin prison. Her husband, Taji Rahmani, back on November 16th, just a few days ago, tweeted this particular information for us. In a phone call, she said they informed her, that is Narges, that she is going to serve 30 months in prison. And really what this is, it was a sentence issued earlier that had not been enforced. And they waited until the anniversary of the November uprisings to arrest her and make an example of her. On top of this heavy-duty sentence, they intend to publicly flog her, I guess. That's the message that her husband said. He says, I emphasize that she was informed of her 30-month sentence while in solitary confinement. Now, her husband lives in France with their two children. Also, he says, the flogging sentence is 80 lashes. By cutting off the phone, we have been denied the ability to get information on her condition. And, of course, many of these political prisoners, if they're rearrested, many of them are arrested and sentenced. Then they're let out. Then they're monitored. They keep track of them. And, of course, Narges, like many other human rights activists, they go about doing what they do well, standing up for freedom in Iran, which there is none. And so during this time now, they have let her out. They've been monitoring her, and they're now making an example of her. Now, what happened was she had talked about this sentence back on September 26th. And she was on Instagram. And this sentence, of course, was issued against her almost 1 year after she was released from prison. And the reason why she has been rearrested, besides the two-year anniversary, she was filing a complaint against the prison director of Evin Prison, Gamreysa Zayi. Back in February of 2021, and this was a message which was translated into English by the Center for Human Rights in Iran. Narges Mohammadi detailed how this prison director personally beat her for participating in a peaceful sit-in inside Evin Prison back in December of 2019. So she's filing this public complaint after being released, see? She's going public with what goes on in Evin Prison. Right? Well, the Iranian government's not going to allow that. Of course, they don't want the world to know that. Now, earlier that month, which was in February of 2021, Narges had confirmed that leaked cell phone footage from Evin Prison showed blood on the ground, the blood that she lost the day she was violently assaulted by this prison director and other security agents. So there is cell phone footage of this. It's not just her making a public complaint. She's got evidence of what happened to her. So this woman has been continually harassed by security agents, and they're aimed at doing one thing like they do with other peaceful activists. Nasrin Sotoudeh is another example. They are aimed at silencing them, keeping them quiet. But Nargis is quoted as saying this: "We are seeking justice for massacres, execution, imprisonment, torture, poverty, and misery. Mr. Rossi must first be held accountable before becoming president." She tweeted this before the election back in August. And, of course, all of the things that any of these human rights activists do are constantly monitored. As I mentioned, she's been continually harassed since her release from prison, which was back in October 2020. She had, at that time, completed a 5-year prison sentence. What was her crime? Peaceful rights advocacy. Again, no freedom. And Nargis is just like so many of the activists in prison. I'm thinking of Atna Dayami, Nasrin Sotoudeh. She is a peaceful activist, but she gets her point across. She says what's on her mind, and she has refused to allow the government's intimidation tactics to stop her from her peaceful activism. She has appeared in prison in solidarity with grieving family members of protesters who were killed by security agents during the November 2019 protests, as well as spoken out against the unjust execution of the champion wrestler. Remember last year, Naveed Afkari? She spoke out in his behalf and spoke out in behalf of her two brothers who are currently serving lengthy sentences because of trials that had any kind of due process, any kind of fairness. What else has Nargis done? She has spearheaded a major lawsuit by civil rights activists against Iranian authorities' unlawful and routine use of prolonged solitary confinement, a form of what is called white torture, that she experienced during her prison stay. Now, what this shows, and I'm sure you're all aware of it, that the oppression, the imprisonment, the torture continues under Iran's new president, Ebrahim Raisi. And Mohammadi is among the many activists, the human rights lawyers and artists who have been threatened with imprisonment or have been imprisoned since President Raisi took office, and also since he came to power in August 2021. Back in May of 2021, just this year, the European Union called on Iran to review Mohammadi's sentence, and they were speaking out in her behalf. Yet countries that are working to restart the nuclear talks with Iran, they are remaining silent. They don't say a word because this nuclear treaty, this reengaging with the nuclear talks, is more important to them than the health and the well-being of activists. Human Rights Director Mr. Gami goes on to say, on the day Mohammadi was arrested, she was peacefully observing the anniversary of the killing of a father of two who happened to step into the street while security forces were firing indiscriminately at protesters, of course, back in the 2019 uprising. So the international community, according to the Center for Human Rights in Iran, the director is saying that we have got to stop paying lip service to human rights. We have got to get together as an international community to really speak out and to stop the economic costs that are going on, to forsake all of this economic gain and speak to the Iranian government and tell them this is wrong and we need to do this to put an end to torture and killing and imprisonment and the things that are happening. Now, what can you do for Nargis? You can be her voice. I will always update you on my page about what's going on with her and her prison sentence and this upcoming flogging. Be her voice. Speak out for her. Share this radio broadcast. Share my updates on her on your Facebook page. Pray for her. Very, very important that we pray and speak out for Nargis. Now, that is Nargis Mohammadi. I want to talk to you about another individual That's in my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. And his name is Dr. Ahmadreza Djalali. His is a very interesting story. But again, it shows how far this government will go and how they attack environmentalists, how they attack peaceful activists, and how they attack scientists and scholars. Because Dr. Ahmadreza Djalali is a scholar. Recently, just in the last few days, Scholars at Risk, SAR, announced that Dr. Ahmadreza Djalali is the recipient of its Courage to Think Award for 2021. Dr. Djalali, he's a prominent scholar of disaster medicine who was sentenced to death in Iran, and he is being recognized by SAR for his struggle for academic freedom and connection to the international academic community. The Courage to Think Award basically recognizes individuals, groups, or institutions that demonstrate a commitment to protecting scholars and promoting academic freedom, whether through their professional work, private or community service, or by facing personal risk. Now, Dr. Djalali's wife, Vida, is going to accept the award on behalf of her husband at a SARS virtual symposium, Free to Think 2021, that's going to be on December 9th. Now, let's learn a little bit about this man. He is an incredibly brave and brilliant man. He's an Iranian-Swedish scholar. Therefore, now, right away, he's the dual citizen. What do Iranians do with dual citizens all the time? When they travel back and forth, eventually, just like Nazanin Ratcliffe, they are arrested and used as political pawns. As I mentioned, Dr. Djalali is an Iranian-Swedish scholar. He has held academic positions in Sweden. And in December 2020, he was awarded a Scholar at Risk Fellowship at Harvard University in the United States. No scholar, SAR says, should face a death sentence, solitary confinement, and withholding of medical care for their academic or scientific work. What has this great doctor done? He has helped the development of the field of disaster medicine at higher education institutions, and he's put into practice by supporting communities that have been impacted by crises. He's provided medical aid, health services, and education to communities that were impacted by floods, quakes, and other disasters, especially the big earthquake in Iran back in 2003 that was devastating. He has worked all over the world in his research to help health systems, hospitals, medical, and rescue staff during these disasters. He's trained hundreds of humanitarian and medical staff around the world. This man is an incredible example of humanity when there is disasters and how he can train them and instruct them of how to handle this. He's a man that's needed and all over the world. But here is what happened to him. Back in April of 2016, during a trip to Iran as a dual citizen, he came to Iran to participate in a series of these academic workshops. Now, it's really not known for sure, but it's strongly believed that Dr. Djalali was targeted because of his ties to the international academic community. Iran doesn't like that. And the belief that he may trade his freedom in exchange for working for the Iranian intelligence service. In other words, they thought, well, you know, this man eventually is going to break all ties and not have anything to do with the Iranian government or helping our services. We're going to arrest him before he does that. So on October 21st, 2017, Dr. Djalali was sentenced to death for what they call corruption on earth. And it's based on these unsubstantiated allegations that he provided intelligence to a foreign government. Same accusation against Nazanin. All of this hoopla, but they're using him as a political pawn. You know they are. He was denied the right to appeal his conviction and sentence. And since then, Dr. Djalali has suffered from torture, ill treatment, and a growing number of medical complications while in custody. It was in November of 24th, just last year, that Iranian authorities moved this great doctor to solitary confinement in preparation to carry out his death sentence. He spent five nightmarish months in solitary confinement awaiting imminent execution until April 14th of this year, when authorities transferred him to a multiple occupancy cell. So his stay of execution was, here's the problem. While he's been in custody, while he's been in solitary confinement, he has been denied access to appropriate medical care for numerous health complications that has worsened. Here's his problem: leukemia, severe weight loss, chronic gastritis, low heart rate, hypertension, gallstones, partial paralysis of the right foot, indirect hernia, hemorrhoid and fissures, low blood cell count, low levels of calcium and vitamin D, malnutrition, dyspepsia, and depression. I can't even fathom how this man has survived since he's been in prison. It's a miracle. And they're denying his lawyer and his family in Iran access, even to make calls to his wife and children in Sweden. He's denied access. So this man is being honored in a symposium. His wife's going to accept the award from SAR on December 9th. What can you do? There are so many things you can do. You can tweet his situation if you're on Twitter and use the hashtag @scholarsatrisk. You can write to the Iranian authorities a letter of appeal. You can be like me and be his voice and share his story all over the network, all over social media. So he is another example of a prominent person that is being held in captivity by this corrupt, oppressive government. Be Mr. Ahmadreza Djalali's voice. He needs your prayers. He needs your voice. Let's not let the world forget about this man's accomplishment. Let's continue to be an advocate and to be a voice and a prayer warrior for his freedom. Now, when you listen to me talk about these oppressive stories, for us who are Christians, we think about, God, where is your justice for these people? We are crying out for their freedom. When I look at the scriptures, I am encouraged that God is a God of justice. I want to share with you some scriptural testimonies to who God is as a God of justice. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Psalm 33, verse 5, he loves, that is, God loves righteousness and justice. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, the rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. He is a God of justice, and we look at the scriptures as what they testify, what they say. Ecclesiastes 3:17, the writer said, I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. It's just so filled with testimonies to God's justice. Psalm 140, verse 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and execute justice for the needy. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. In the beginning preface of my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cries of Iranians, I have this verse of scripture. This is a verse I pray for pretty much daily for my Iranian friends. It's a verse that means so much to me, and I want to share this with you. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Notice these are promises. God is not a God that lies. He keeps his promise. We have found and discovered that righteousness and justice are the foundation to his throne. But one thing I want to mention before I go on here about God's justice. God will recompense. He will bring justice to the afflicted and to the oppressed. But one thing we want to understand about God's justice is that all of us, regardless of our status in life, all of us deserve God's justice and judgment upon our lives. The Bible teaches us in Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Psalm 7, he is angry with the wicked every day. Instead, though, of giving us his just judgment, God has poured out his mercy. He did that by sending Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And we receive instead of justice, we receive mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. And so we deserve God's wrath. We deserve his justice. But in Christ, we receive his mercy. And what I want to do right now is I want to share with you in the New Testament, Luke chapter 18. When I mention about being a voice for the oppressed, for instance, for Narges Mohammadi and Dr. Jalali this morning, many of us who are Christians, sometimes we become discouraged, because it seems like that we cry out and pray, and there doesn't seem to be any action or any answer or any remedy to the situation. But we know that's not true. God does everything in his perfect timing. And Jesus wants us to be bold in our prayer. He wants us to come to the throne of grace and pray boldly. And just so that we understand that God is a God of justice, and he wants to encourage us, Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 18 that bears on this subject of justice and a delay in the answer to prayer. He said, and he told them a parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not lose heart. So this parable is to encourage us. Don't give up on your praying. He said in this parable, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. But afterward, and this is what the unjust judge said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming. In other words, she's driving me crazy. She's harassing me. So I'm just going to give her justice. Now listen to what Jesus said. Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now listen to what Jesus says. He wants us as Christians to understand there's a contrast here between this unjust judge and the true judge of the universe. Jesus is saying, look, in the case of this unjust judge, who didn't fear God or respect man after just this constant barragement of give me justice, this unjust judge finally said, I can't take it anymore, here's your justice. In the same way, you serve a God of justice who does not tire of hearing from you. He is not unjust. He is perfectly just. But even if an unjust judge will finally give you justice, how much more will your heavenly Father speedily bring justice to you as you continue to pray to him? That was the encouragement to his disciples. God wants to encourage us, those of us like me, human rights activists. You cry to God day and night. He will give justice in your situation speedily. You are weary. You are tired. You are discouraged, but do not give up. Your heavenly Father knows the injustices going on. God knows the injustices against Narges Mohammadi. God sees and knows the injustices against Dr. Ahmadreza Jalali. He hears the prayers of his people, and he is working out his plan in their situations. That is certain. That this is why I share this parable up to you as a prayer of encouragement. If an unjust judge will finally give the widow what she wants, how much more will your God in heaven, your heavenly Father, answer your prayer as you boldly come to him daily in behalf of these activists? Now, one thing I will say, we cry out for their human rights, but we also cry out for their salvation if they don't know the Lord Jesus. We cry out to Jesus that he would reveal himself to them in their distress and in their imprisonment, because that is the most important thing that can happen to them, is they find their hope and freedom in Jesus Christ. Well, as I mentioned, I'm going to keep us updated about their situation. But right now what I want to do, I want us to hear a song by Tim Hughes. And it's a great song of activism on the theme of the God of justice. I want us to worship the Lord right now in this song. And if you hear this cry and this call after listening to this song, that is God speaking to your heart to be a messenger for his truth and justice. Let's listen right now to God of Justice by Tim Hughes, right now on the cross in the desert. Beautiful song of worship by Tim Hughes, the God of Justice. The theme today on the cross in the desert is that our God is a God of justice. He hears the cries of his people, and make no mistake, he will rescue the afflicted and the oppressed. But here's what I want to end this program today with. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Is the return of Christ. At that time, this world that is cursed by sin and lawlessness, the God of justice will return. He is sitting on a white horse, and the heavens are opened. He is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and he makes war, the Bible says. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems or crowns. And he has on his head and a name written that no one knows but himself, clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And with him is riding the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. They're following him. From the mouth of Christ comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Make no mistake, the righteous judge will return. Right now, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who all to call upon him. But if we harden our hearts, then he will bring justice. And no longer will you know him as the Lamb, but as the Lion. And he is coming. He is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know this God of justice? Now is the time you call upon his name. We receive mercy instead of justice when we call upon the name of Christ. He showers upon us his tender love and his tender mercies, because that's who our God is. He's a holy God, but he's a compassionate God. And right now is the time to call upon him. If during this message you've heard his voice stir your heart, call on him. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one that comes to the Father except by him. He is the one that will give you mercy. He will give you complete forgiveness, because he is a merciful, and compassionate God. This God of justice, this holy God that is returning to reign on this earth, right now wants to come and reign in your heart. But he comes by invitation. You must be the one to call on his name. You must be the one to cry out to him. And if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Call out to him. Because now, today, is the day of salvation. You and I are not promised or guaranteed tomorrow. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Jesus wants to come into your heart to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness and sin and give you a new heart, a new spirit, and a new beginning. Thank God he is the God of new beginnings. Thank God he is the God of mercy. So this is the day that the Lord has made. And if you listen carefully, he is talking to you. He is speaking to you. He is beckoning you. He is persuading you. He is calling on you to come and find your hope, your freedom in him. So I pray specifically today for you. Pray today as well for Nargis and Dr. Jalali, for there's freedom. I thank you so much for joining me today on The Cross in the Desert. Share this program on your page. Thank you so much for spending time with me. I want you to have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you again on Thursday.